In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you on this Wednesday. And it's Wednesday. You know what that means? Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for Corpus Christi Sunday. Man, I love these solemnities that happen after Pentecost. You know, we have Holy Trinity, we have Corpus Christi, and then on the Friday after Corpus Christi is typically Sacred Heart of Jesus. Oh, man, this is just awesome. Can't wait to break open God's Word today. Grab your Bibles. We're breaking open God's Word for Corpus Christi Sunday, the great solemnity. We celebrate Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity, the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. My archdiocese, the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon, and I'm sure many other around the world, actually, are going to be celebrating Corpus Christi by doing Eucharistic processions. And so I would strongly encourage you, if you're able, to participate in the Eucharistic procession that's going to happen in your diocese or maybe one of the parishes, maybe if not at your parish, at your local parish. And I know at the network at EWTN, they always have a procession, Corpus Christi procession. They do the grounds there at the EWTN studios in Irondale, and they have a altar set up outside for a little bit of Eucharistic adoration. So this is a great time to celebrate, especially as we're still celebrating the Jubilee Year of Hope, but also the U.S. Bishop's 3-year kind of re-evangelization of the Eucharist, Eucharistic revival, Eucharistic renewal, and so we come to a solemnity like Corpus Christi, where we focus on one of the most foundational, basic things of our faith, Jesus Christ present in the Eucharist. And this is particularly important at this time, because you remember before the pandemic, the Pew Research showed that 69% of Catholics did not believe that Jesus Christ was present in the Eucharist. So almost 2/3 of Catholics don't believe that Jesus is there in the Eucharist. So we need to have a Eucharistic renaissance, a revival of our belief in the Eucharist. We need to just get back to the basics. The Trinity, Incarnation, Grace, Eucharist, sacraments, and just kind of really, dive back into those sacraments and really understand them, and more importantly, connect them deeply to our relationship, a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just learning about the sacraments, it's incorporating the sacraments into our everyday life. And of course, with the Eucharist, we are nurtured and strengthened by Christ's body and blood, soul, divinity, which nurtures and fosters all the other sacraments, most particularly baptism and confirmation. Those sacraments that leave that priests and deacons and bishops, holy orders, those three sacraments leave an indelible or permanent mark on the soul. And so the grace of those sacraments are nurtured and strengthened and fed by the Eucharist. And we have to remember John 6. What does our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ say? Unless you eat the flesh, sarx in Greek, unless you eat the flesh of the Son, in fact, eat is trogos, which means to gnaw, munch, or chew. So unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, the Eucharist is life. The Eucharist is life. So let's joyously celebrate this feast of Corpus Christi. Again, break it open God's Word on this Word of God Wednesday, Corpus Christi edition. And we would love to hear from you. Maybe you had a powerful encounter with the Eucharist, or you just want to share with us what the Eucharist means to you. Maybe you had a powerful moment with Christ in Eucharistic adoration. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also email us beacon@ewtn.com. You can even text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. So many ways to say connected with EWTN using modern technology. I have just returned from a three-day summer parish mission at the Sacred Heart Catholic Church in La Plata, Maryland. Had a wonderful, wonderful time there. Such a great community. And I bring that up because it's a Eucharistic-centered parish. You know, it's really wonderful because they have adoration every day. They don't have perpetual adoration, but after the noon mass, they have adoration that goes all the way till 8:30 at night. So after the noon mass, all the way to 8:30 every day, they have adoration. You know, so it's a beautiful thing to see a parish. And then you have a lot of catechesis and other things where, you know, they're really focusing the attention of the parish on the Eucharist. The mass, you know, I deaconed at the masses this weekend. The masses were said beautifully by the priest. You know, we had tons of acolytes up there. You know, as I mentioned on the show yesterday, you know, they have a discerners program. They have a propedeutic year, you know, young men who have been accepted into seminary, but now following the new system where they have a propedeutic year before they start formal studies. And then we have the seminarians, and all three are there in that parish. It was so encouraging and to see these young men who love the Lord and love their Catholic faith and really discerning a call by the Lord in their heart to priesthood, you know, to see them just thriving so beautifully in a Eucharistic-centered parish. So, you know, you want to see your marriages get better. You want to see more vocations to the priesthood, diaconate, and religious life. You want to see more people coming back to the parish, turning their hearts and their lives. You want to see your kids come back to the church. Focus on the Eucharist. Become a Eucharistic parish. You know, and it's tragic in talking with some of the folks there that they're still priests that don't have a Eucharistic-centered heart. And it hurts me to say that, but when they talk about doing processions and adoration, they thumb their nose at it. Like, nah, we don't need that here. You know, yeah, you do. You know, and I believe if you're not really have a Eucharistic heart, how could you possibly live out your priesthood? You know, in the way that Christ calls men to do that. You know, so we really need a return to a powerful love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And that's where we're focused on today, Word of God Wednesday, Corpus Christi edition. Again, would love to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I'm also incredibly grateful for the tremendous folks at EWTN that bring this show every day. I'm talking about Vanessa Sanchez, who will be screening your calls today, Michael McCall doing social media, and of course, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I thought of you last night. It was kind of a chill night. Ryan and I, my son, were hanging out, just having dinner. And so I put on some music. And typically, it's usually upbeat, something rocking while I'm cooking. But then usually, it's chill for dinner. So I pulled out. I didn't even realize I still had this. But a old Wes Montgomery album.
Ooh, yes!
So Wes was our entertainment for dinner last night, and man, it was so chill. Like I just felt the room just like completely relax. It was just bling.
Wes Montgomery. You know, the man didn't play with a pick; he played with that big old thumb.
Yep.
That he had, and that's why I love one of the things I love about YouTube is that you get to see, like I get to see Queen from the 70s, or mm-hmm. you know, Wes Montgomery, you know, and to see him playing with that thumb, you know, and
yeah.
Again, the beautiful tone that he got, and just the facility is just facility on the guitar is just awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
It really is. So I'm glad you guys got to listen to Wes.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was very chill. I was like, man, Deacon should be here. We'd be hanging out. And it was funny, too, because I didn't realize that I had, like, set the lights. We have, like, smart bulbs. And so I had set it to, like, match the tone. So, like, dinner was chilled, you know, almost like candlelight kind of, but no candles. My wife comes home. She goes, why is it so dark in here? I was like, you weren't here for the mood. It was all a part of dinner. She's like, no, I need some lights. So I was like, turn lights on. So
that's awesome. Well, I guess if you're around the stage productions and stuff like that, this is always kind of dark in there, right? During the productions and stuff. And
yeah, well, and I think too, and this is where my wife and I don't know if you and your wife are this way, but like, in the times we talk throughout the day, a lot can happen from the last time we talk to when I see her again. Mm-hmm. And I'm not aware of her mojo. She's not aware of mine. And so usually we know within the first 10 minutes the headspace the other one is in. So I just had an hour and a half or so of chill time with Wes Montgomery and my son. And she had dealt with traffic and all kinds of other work things. And so she wasn't in a chill spot yet.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, I can appreciate that.
So we just had to get to the matching level, and then she was there. So
Of course. Love it. It's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth, and we're focusing on Corpus Christi Sunday. Folks on Jesus Christ, you guys would love to hear from you. Give us a call, my friends, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. I was thinking of, what's that group? And every season turns.
Yeah, the Yardbirds.
Yardbird, that's it, the Yardbirds.
Come on, that ought to be quick to memory.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, I don't listen to that kind of stuff. It's not that, like, that wouldn't be on my playlist, you know?
That's how.
But I know the tune. As soon as I heard it, like, oh, that reminds me of that Yardbirds song.
The first demos of Zeppelin were all under Yardbirds until they came up with the band name because of Jimmy Page.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, you're always filled with some great musical fun facts.
It serves no purpose but to annoy you, so.
Yeah!
My wife rolls her eyes and she goes, is that a Jeopardy category? I was like, it should be. So.
Yeah. I got to up my game here. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth on this Word of God Wednesday. And of course, we're going to be celebrating Corpus Christi Sunday this Sunday. Our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. Would love to hear from you today. If you want to share your experience of Christ in the Eucharist, if you had a powerful encounter with Christ, Eucharistic adoration, if you just want to share your heart about how much the Eucharist means to you, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, my friends. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, while you're doing some shopping this summer, EWTN Religious Catalog, a great place right now with final clearance on just about everything. If you're looking for Bibles, you're looking for anything to set the decor for your home, or you're looking for trinkets for your car, rosaries, any of that stuff, just check out the final clearance section at EWTNRC.com. Remember, free standard shipping for $75 or more when you use the code word free at checkout. That's EWTNRC.com.
All right, my friends, it's now time to break open God's Word on this Word of God Wednesday with the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, if we take one of the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament called the Ketuvim or the Writings that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we apply the Psalm to your everyday lived experience. And today we're going to take a look at Psalm 106. Now, we've been doing this show for a year and a half, and I just realized we had not started even looking at 106 yet. Obviously, we looked at parts of almost every psalm, but not Psalm 106. And I was looking at it, and I think the reason is this is one of those historical psalms. So Psalm 6 is in Book 4 of the Psalms, Psalms 90 to 106. So 106 is the last psalm in Book 4 of the Psalms, which means that Psalm 106 ends with a doxology. So remember, all the psalms, the psalms that end each of the books of the Psalms, or close with a doxology. And so Psalm 106 is a long psalm. So I don't think we started this one because this is one of the historical psalms. So this is one of the psalms that goes through the history of God saving his people from Israel. And, you know, when Israel rebelled against God at the at Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and the golden calf and all of that. And we covered some of those psalms during Advent and Lent. So I think in order to not have much repetition, we haven't explored this psalm yet. But we are going to now. We're going to start looking at it. Again, it's going to take us a while to get through, but let's just dive right in. So you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 106. So like most of the psalms in Book 4, this one has no attribution. So in other words, we don't know if Asaph or sons of Korah or David or Jeduthun wrote this psalm. Also, it has no prescript or superscript to this psalm. It just dives right in. It starts off, Alleluia, right? Then it says, oh, give, I'm sure this is one of those lines that you've, I'm sure you've heard this line before. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, right? And again, sometimes in the translation, you'll see his love endures forever. But the word here in Hebrew is merciful love. Right. So his merciful love. Now, there's a couple of different words that could be used. It could be hesed, which means more like covenant love. But I think the word that's probably used here is ahava, which means compassionate love. That's used. Actually, I'm looking at it in English, not Hebrew, but I'm pretty sure that that's the word that this, that's used for mercy. So you can translate it as mercy, love, or merciful love. Right, it's part of that as well. So again, a lot of people know that, you know, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, his love, or his merciful love endures forever. And that's something we could never forget. And because we're celebrating the Eucharist in a special way this Sunday, you know, we know that his mercy, his love endures. Why? Because we have the Eucharist. Jesus says in Matthew 28:19. That I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So he promises us as he's about to ascend to the Father, that he will be with us always. And so one of the ways that he is with us, that he fulfills that promise, is in the Eucharist, is in the Eucharist. Right. So again, if we look at this psalm typologically or allegorically, we can see that the promise of this psalm is fulfilled ultimately in Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh and then giving us his flesh in the Eucharist. Love it. Who can tell the Lord's mighty deeds or recount in full his praise? Obviously, the psalmist here is asking a rhetorical question because the answer obviously is nobody, right? I mean, that's his point. Who can tell of the Lord's mighty deeds or recount in full his praise? Nobody. But you know what? We still need to, even though we can't exhaust the fullness, we can't exhaust the mystery of who God is, we can still share our faith to this generation, to the next generation, to our children and our children's children. You know, that the story of God, how God worked in our life, the story of how God came to save his people, needs to be retold and recounted. You know, and the Psalms does this beautifully. Again, several of the Psalms tell the story so that people don't forget. So the psalmist here is actually pretty funny, asking, well, no one can recount the fullness of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's praise. But we're going to try. Right? So in verse 3, blessed are they who observe what is just, who at all times do what is right. So we have a synonymous parallelism in this cola of the psalm here in verse 3, where the psalmist states, makes a statement, and then kind of repeats that statement but phrases it in a different way. So blessed are those who observe what is just. What does that mean? We follow the commands of the Lord because the Lord is just. Remember, another psalm says mercy and truth and justice walk in his presence. right? So the Lord exudes justice. So if we follow the ways of the Lord, we become justified, right? We become justified in the eyes of the Lord, who at all times do what is right. So one follows the other. If we follow and observe what is just in the eyes of the Lord, then we'll do what is right. Why? Because our consciences will be properly formed in justice and truth. And because our consciences are properly formed and oriented to God, we'll be able to live in right relationship. We'll be to live in righteousness and holiness and justification before God. Right? So this beautiful relationship. So the psalmist here, as before he begins to tell the story of salvation history, is preparing us, preparing our minds and our hearts to remember and to hold in our hearts in a beautiful and a special way how our Lord came to save us. And this should be the experience of all of us too, not only in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but in Eucharistic adoration, where we're before our Lord and he's there and present to us as a reminder of his love, of his truth, of his mercy, of his justice. We contemplate his presence in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. As we contemplate his presence, we unite ourselves and our lives to him. You know, so again, this beautiful verse 3 of Psalm 106 is a beautiful reminder of how the Lord brings us into a beautiful relationship of love and intimacy with him through the most blessed sacrament. Then verse 4, O Lord, remember me with the favor that you show to your people. You know, so Lord, because I am walking in your justice, because I am seeking righteousness and truth, because I freely choose to obey your laws, because I know your laws will make me perfect. Remember, that's a reading from Mass yesterday, that we ought to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. And again, Talmim in Hebrew, which means mature, whole, and complete. Because I choose to live that way, Lord, please show me your favor. Show me your favor, Lord. Visit me with your saving power, that I may see the riches of your chosen ones. See, so when we live in right relationship with God, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles at Pentecost, that breathed life and gave, in a sense, gave birth to the church, that empowered them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we also receive that same Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation, that same Holy Spirit that comes upon the altar and through the epiclesis through the calling down of the Holy Spirit and through the words of Jesus Christ working in persona Christi Capitis, the person of the priest, in the person of Christ the priest, Christ the head. You know, bread and wine become God for us. You know, and so we see the riches of God's love and mercy in grace, in the sacraments, in reconciliation, in the Eucharist, right? Beautiful, beautiful. So these are things that we have to recall, especially as we celebrate our Lord in the Eucharist.
Well, and to think about it from the perspective of the same Holy Spirit to raise Jesus is the same Holy Spirit we have access to, and we think for a second that it's not enough power to overcome our little problems. And not to distinguish anybody's problems, because they're big to us and sometimes they're heavy at times. But that's what I'm saying. In comparative to raising Jesus to our earthly issues, come on, same Holy Spirit, doesn't change, same power. Let's tap into that.
That's right. Lean into it.
Yes.
Right? Lean into the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's that Holy Spirit that leads us into truth, that enlivens our hearts, that convicts us that what the Lord teaches is true and good and beautiful. And if we are to find peace, if we are to walk in his footsteps, then we freely align ourselves with the beauty and truth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends, it's Wednesday, Word of God Wednesday, Corpus Christi Sunday. We're breaking open God's Word as we reflect on his presence, body, blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-8255. EW10. That's 833-288-3986. Stay at the old school vibe.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I like that. I can hear the background singers. Exactly.
That's some of my favorites on, like, you know, Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles stuff, like any of the backup stuff is sometimes better than the whole song, like just isolated background vocals.
Yeah, and speaking of that, you know, there was a movie I saw on the plane once, like a documentary about background singers, about the people who used to, and their stories.
Yeah.
You know, like, how'd you come to be a background singer? Are you trying to become like a mainstream singer yourself, but you're just cutting your teeth, being a background? I mean, you know, people singing for all kinds of just, Steely Dan, like, they interviewed those women that were on tour with him, and what's the other one? Gosh, there's so many other bands. It was just fascinating to hear and see their lives and and their stories and experiences. It was awesome.
Yeah, and you go to like the Motown stuff, you know, they were receptionists. You know, they're like, hey, we need a vote. Come here. Sing this note.
Yeah, and see, and what's the connection with the faith? A lot of these background singers sang in church.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where they cut their teeth.
That's true.
You know, singing for the Lord.
The I cannot think of her name off the top of my head, but the new lead singer or backup singer for the Stones, she was in a Christian band called Trinity 5-7, and then now she's like the Tina Turner of their backup singer, and she's phenomenal. Grew up in church, just awesome performer. So if you see any clips of them from the last year tour, that's her.
Oh, awesome. Love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Word of God Wednesday. Grab your Bibles. We're breaking open God's Word for Corpus Christi. Well, traditionally it's called Corpus Christi Sunday. Technically, it's called the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. Yeah, I love that. But Corpus Christi is shorter. So it's, but it's a Sunday. And again, I love these solemnities that happen right after Pentecost. You know, we have Trinity Sunday, then Corpus Christi Sunday, and then this Friday will be Sacred Heart of Jesus. Just wonderful celebrations of our one holy Catholic and Apostolic faith. Would love to hear from you today. You know, if you have a powerful encounter with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, either in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass or in adoration, or you want to share your love for Christ in the Eucharist, would love to hear from you today, my friends. Give us a call today on the show, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as you experience the Holy Spirit, of course, you can pray the Holy Rosary with us each and every day. Of course, a couple of times a day, 5:30 Eastern with Mother Angelica. Then just before bed or maybe after the kids go to bed, you can do that 9:30 with Father Benedict Groeschel right here on EWTN Radio. Been doing this twice a day for over 30 years. So now's the time for you to start and always be reminded that we will pray with you, for you, and at all times. So check that out right here on EWTN Radio.
Amen. Beautiful. All right. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. On this Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth, we're breaking open God's Word for Corpus Christi Sunday, or more formally, the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. I love saying that. I love saying the most holy body and blood of Christ. Man, if that doesn't get your heart pumping and excited as a Catholic, then, you know, they need to put you 6 feet under or something, man. This is awesome. Well, let's grab your Bibles. Let's dive in. So the first reading is very short. Here we see, this is Genesis 14, 18, where we see Melchizedek show up. So a little bit of the background. Abraham, and here he's called Abram, all right? So He's not in Hebrew, Abram or Abraham, all right? So he's still Abram, or in English, Abram, or Abram. So Abram means exalted father, but he's not yet Abraham, father of multitudes, okay? So when God changes your name, he changes your purpose, right? So here, he's still Abram. He's still Abram. Now, he just defeated some of their enemies, and so he wants to offer God thanks. And so who shows up? This is only appearance in the scriptures. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, a king of Salem. So Melchizedek means the king of righteousness. In Hebrew, means the king of righteousness. He's also the king of Salem, the king of peace. Now, why is this so important? First of all, Jesus is the true king of righteousness. He is the true king of peace. Remember, in John chapter 20, verse 19, he comes into into the upper room on Easter Sunday night, right? And the first thing he says to the apostles is, "Peace be with you." In other words, I am your peace. I am peace and I am with you, right? So it's Melchizedek, again, is a typological image, an archetype of Christ himself. Now, a little bit of a background here. So when the Jews offered sacrifice, they offered basically two types of sacrifice. They offered blood sacrifice, or zarach sacrifices. Zarach means the spilling or shedding of blood. You know, lamb, sheep, goat. Like, look at Leviticus chapter 5, starting at verse 5. And you can see what the types of offerings that they made there. Or they offered sacrifice that can't be killed, that don't bleed. Grain, wine, oil, incense. Right? So that was the other type of sacrifice. And that's what's called the asa sacrifice. That was technical Jewish terminology for offering a sacrifice that cannot be killed. All right. So, and what makes Christ's sacrifice so perfect, he does both in the Last Supper on the cross. It is the zarach, the spilling and shedding of blood, and the asa, right? The memorial sacrifice. I mean, again, memory, meaning a lot. Memory is something that's living. The graces and blessings of a past event are made real and present now. This is foreshadowed in these couple of verses from the first reading from Genesis 14, 18 to 20. So what does Melchizedek offer? Bread and wine. So the king of righteousness, the king of peace, offers bread and wine. Right. And so what Abraham give in return? A tenth of everything. So this is where the idea of tithing comes from. So he says, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who delivered your foes into your hand." So he makes an offering, a thanksgiving offering. Right. What is the word Eucharist, Eucharistein in Greek mean? Thanksgiving. Right. Thanksgiving. Beautiful. And then we have the psalm, which is deeply connected to the first reading, because this is a Psalm 110. It's a messianic psalm of fulfillment by David, who says that of the Messiah, he will be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So David is saying that he's talking about the characteristics of the Savior. He will be a priest forever. What will he offer? Bread and wine, which is exactly what Jesus does at the Last Supper. God, love our Catholic faith. Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're talking about Corpus Christi Sunday, the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. Would love to hear from you. Want to share an experience or what the Eucharist has meant to you in your life, either through the Mass or through Eucharistic Adoration. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. James is calling from San Angelo, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. James, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Most welcome.
The reason why I call, you like music. And I was noticing there's some rock and roll songs that could be turned into Christian hymns. And one of the songs that I heard was, "How Do I Know What He Loves Me?" Have you ever heard that song?
How do I know? Who's that by?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, maybe Ace knows. Ace knows. Ace is the savant when it comes to the song titles and stuff and bands.
And there's another one called Endless Love.
Oh, Endless Love. Yeah, isn't that the theme? Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. Yes. I think that was the song they sung for Endless Love. That was from a movie. That's, I think, from a movie track.
Yeah, from the same title. Right.
The same title, Endless Love. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And, you know, actually, James, we do do that. We have shows on Beacon of Truth called the Beacon of Truth Playlist, where we take popular songs and we look at them through the lens of our faith. So you may want to go back. And it's its own podcast, actually. So you can go to anywhere that streams podcasts or to Podcast Central at EWTN or an EWTN app and listen to those episodes. Beacon of, it's called the Beacon of Truth Playlist, where you take songs and look at them through a faith lens. But yeah, that's a song we need to take a look at.
And what was the title that you mentioned, James?
The first one.
How do I know He loves me?
How do I know He loves me?
How do I know
that,
He loves me?
Words. I don't know if that. I don't know if that's the title of the song or not.
Okay. Not finding anything in search, and it doesn't register in the Ace McKay database, so we'll have to.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, but just to tie things in, James, with our, with the show today, you know, you talked about how do I know He loves me, and we talked about endless love. Well, Christ showed us endless love by giving Himself for us on the cross. He shows how much He loves us by conquering death so that we could have life forever. And He also shows us that He loves us by giving us His life, literally, His life in the Eucharist. So not only are those great song titles, but those also express the reality of Corpus Christi Sunday, the beauty and truth of our faith, God giving His life to us. Great call, James. Great to hear from you, my friend. So it's Word of God Wednesday. We're talking about the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Jesus that we're celebrating this Sunday, Corpus Christi Sunday. Would love to hear from you. Please share with us an experience of maybe how Christ came into your life through His presence in the Eucharist, either an experience you had at Mass or in Eucharistic adoration, or you just want to share your love for Jesus in the Eucharist. Would love to hear from you today on Beacon of Truth. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So we looked at the first reading, which is from Genesis 14, 18 about Melchizedek. Then we looked at the Psalm 110, written by David, a messianic psalm of fulfillment, which refers back to Genesis 14, 18 with Melchizedek. Then we have the second reading from St. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, what's interesting about this is actually the first place in the New Testament scriptures where we have an account of what happened at the Last Supper. What do you mean? What about the Gospels, Deacon? Well, St. Paul wrote his letters before the Gospels were written. So St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 here is the first place where we have what happened at the Last Supper, right? So remember, Paul is addressing liturgical abuse with the Corinthians. And here's what he says. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, right? So this is this is the word for to hand on to is tradition. So I'm passing on the sacred tradition that I was given by the Lord, and I pass this on to you. What is that tradition? That the Lord Jesus, on the night He was handed over, took bread, and after He had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." That should echo all the way back to Exodus chapter 24. When Moses establishes the covenant with the people, he takes the blood of the bulls and he throws it on the altar. Then he reads the covenant. The people say, "All that the Lord has said, we will do. We will be obedient." He takes the other half of the blood from the bulls and throws it on the people and says, "This is the blood of the covenant that you have made with the Lord with all these words." So the Jesus' words at Last Supper echo back to the covenant that also, not just Melchizedek, but the blood covenant that was made with the people of Israel through Moses. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes," which of course is one of the memorial acclamations in the middle of the Eucharistic prayer that we hear on Sundays as well, right? So what's happening here? Paul is telling us without any question or any doubt that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. No question, no doubt. It's as if a stone has been lifted away from a never ending flowing stream from a spring. St. Paul reports what he heard from the first, from Jesus himself and from the apostles. This is my body, without daring to add a single word. Not this is a sign, this is a symbol, this is just a metaphor, this is just an example. No, this is my body. The words of Jesus have not a sign, not a symbol, not a representation. And he says, do this in remembrance. Not when you do this, remember me. When Jesus said those words in that order for a specific purpose. You know, he's using the word do for a technical Jewish terminology for offering a sacrifice that can't be killed or slaughtered. In remembrance, anamnesis, or zacher in Hebrew, which means the graces and blessings of a past event are made real and present now. So Jesus is saying the same graces and blessings that are going to flow from that cross, I am giving you this grace in this most blessed sacrament. So St. Paul's words are very clear. He shows us that Jesus expresses his gratitude that the Father is doing this great act through him, and that he himself is permitted to participate in this salvific sacrifice, that the Spirit will accomplish it unceasingly. So he gave us the Spirit at Pentecost to perpetuate in our hearts and in our lives the great gift. Because Epiclesis, the priest, puts his hands over the gifts, calls the Holy Spirit to be present at the altar so that when he says the words of institution, bread and wine become God, right? Beautiful, beautiful words of our Lord. My friends, it's Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for Corpus Christi Sunday, this Sunday, where we celebrate our Lord present body, blood, soul, and divinity, Eucharist. Would love to hear from you. Please share with us an experience or an encounter you have with God in the Eucharist, either at Mass or in adoration, or just want to share your love for the Eucharist, Christ's real presence with us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Would love to hear from you today about the power of the Eucharist. So the Holy Sacrament of the Mass is offered not in place of Christ's gift of himself. It is offered in his remembrance, the living memory of what Christ did for us. So when we're at Mass, we're at the foot of the cross. We're not killing Christ over again. We're not simply, calling to mind in our memories what happened. No, we are at Calvary. The same graces, the same blessings that flow from that cross are given to us in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. So it's absolutely beautiful, the power and the reality of what Christ is doing for us. So the breaking, so the Eucharist is inseparable from Jesus crushing sin and death on the cross, so that every Eucharistic celebration, every holy sacrifice of the Mass is a proclamation of the death of the Lord, right? When you eat this bread and drink this, so you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again. The living memory of what Christ did for us as Calvary is represented on the altar at every Mass. So the death of Jesus in the past can only become present now in the Eucharist if his dying was in itself an act that overflowed from a life of supreme love. Right? That's the nexus. That's the connection. You know, that we remember in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. You know, and of course, in the Gospel, well, we have the beautiful sequence. We have the Gospel from Luke chapter 9, right? So we're in year C, so this is the year of Luke. From Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 11. So the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish. You know, so again, an anticipation of Christ feeding all of us and giving us life in that Eucharist. He said, the crowd is hungry. Give them food yourselves. And he says, well, we have five loaves and two fishes, all we have. And it's not enough to go buy food for all these people. You know, it says that there were men. Now, it says the men numbered 5,000. So if you include the women and the children, there were more than even 5,000 there. So you had them sit down in groups of 50. They took the bread and distributed among, and they even had 12 wicker baskets left over at the end. So this shows us that God is willing to come into the lives of his people and to feed his people. Not feed them with just mere food, not bread and grape juice, but he feeds us with his own body, blood, soul, and divinity. The God of the universe gives life to our souls in that blessed sacrament. That's what we're celebrating. That reality, that foundational, fundamental truth of our faith as Catholics. Jesus' real presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, for which we give thanks. So Eucharistein in Greek means thanksgiving, right? Or in Hebrew, todah, the todah sacrifice, the thanksgiving sacrifice. So let us always give thanks to the Lord in our lives for the great gift of what he did for us on the cross and the grace that he gives us in the Eucharist that sustains us and nourishes us in our life's journey. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe share your experience of the power of the Eucharist in your own life, either in Mass or in adoration, or just share your love for Christ in the Eucharist. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And again, I want to encourage you to make sure you participate in a Corpus Christi celebration in your diocese, in your parish. If they're going to have a procession, please participate in that. You know, don't feel like embarrassed. Oh, I don't want to walk around. People might see me. Yeah, that's the point, that people will see you. I remember visiting a parish once, and the priest had told me that he had started Eucharistic processions, and there was a kind of a red light district down the street, down the hill from the church. So what he started doing Eucharistic processions with the monstrants, and he would walk down the street in front of all of these brothels and these adult entertainment stores and things like that, and so-called gentlemen's club, although a real gentleman would never be caught dead in a place like that. So he started walking through up and down the street, blessing putting the Eucharist and walking in front of them. And eventually, he said, every single one of them closed. Every single one of them closed. We also hear stories about this as well when Christ in the Eucharist is brought out to abortion centers, where they're praying, and even the Eucharist may be present there. So Christ is present with his people praying for the lives of these innocent children. And in some cases, yes, the abortion centers have closed, attributing that to Christ being present there in the Eucharist along with the prayers of his people. So Christ nourishes us and strengthens us and prepares us for the battle and the hardships and the challenges that we face in this life. So it's a beautiful, beautiful gift of God's grace. So Jesus feeding his people in Luke's gospel with the five loaves of two fish and five loaves of bread. That is a great, it's not hocus pocus, right? In fact, well, just a little thing here. The word hocus pocus eventually led into the words hokey pokey, which is actually mocking Jesus Christ and the actions of the priest at the Mass. So hokey pokey comes from hocus pocus. Hocus pocus is making fun of the words of institution in Latin. Hoc est enim corpus meum. That's the Latin. This is my body, right? Hocus pocus. And that turned into hokey pokey, making fun of the priest's actions at the Mass. You put your head in, you put your head out, bowing. You put your right foot in, genuflecting, and you turn yourself around. The priest phrase ad orientem. It's mocking the priest's actions of the Mass. And so our participation and celebration of Jesus Christ in Corpus Christi, I think, is a beautiful way of standing up against the pushback from the culture. Let's go very, very quickly to George here, calling from Maryland. George is listening on Defender and Splendor of the Truth Radio. Very quickly, George, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Okay, thank you so much. Very, very quickly. So I have some really good example from my dad, who always used to go to church on Good Friday because of Christ. When we grew up, we did not have Mass every day in our area, so we used to go from areas, from one place to another place to make sure that he heard the Mass on Good Friday and he received Christ. That's all.
Oh, beautiful. What a wonderful testimony. Thank you so much, George, for sharing your experience with us of Jesus powerfully present in the Eucharist. So again, I want to encourage you, go to Mass and let Jesus and the radiance of his love and mercy from that blessed sacrament penetrate your heart and your life. Well, tomorrow we're going to continue our series, Our Life in Christ. We had tremendous response to this yesterday. We talked about the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation. Tomorrow we're going to focus on the Visitation. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.